Now I'm going to make a statement. I want you to listen very carefully to it. As a child of God, owned by God, as a person who's in serving the Lord, that's what your life's primary goal is, you are invincible until God is done with you. Now listen to that statement. You are invincible. Nothing can harm you until God's done with you. And when God's done with you, who wants to hang around anyway? When you think of what's in store for the child of God in heaven.
For some reason, anchors are all the rage in fashion lately. They are seen adorning everything from shoes to shirts to bags. But what is an anchor besides a visually pleasing graphic? It's an extremely heavy piece of metal shaped and ready to connect a ship or boat to the bed of a body of water. Well, today here in Connect with Skip Easter Weekend Edition, Skip Heitzig has some helpful encouragement that will bolster your faith. Three anchors Paul used to stay strong even when life was tough. These anchors will strengthen us as we go through storms in our own lives. We'll see them in a moment here as we listen to another installment from the series Paul's Long Road to Rome. But first, we've put together a special resource this month where Skip Heitzig helps you understand the Book of Revelation. Here's more.
Predicting the future with 100% accuracy? No one but God is even close to being able to make that claim. And yeah, it's kind of a big deal.
I want you to think of prophecy as being an aspect of one of God's great attributes. God is omniscient. He knows everything. And because he is omniscient, one of the aspects of his omniscience is that he knows the future in advance and can write about it, can predict it through his prophets in graphic detail.
Take the guessing game out of the future with Skip Heitzig's newly reprinted book, You Can Understand the Book of Revelation, now including helpful illustrations and a study guide. Get your copy when you give a generous gift of $35 or more to help expand the Bible teaching outreach of Skip Heitzig. Just call 800-922-1888 to give today. That's 800-922-1888 to give today. Or give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer. That's connectwithskip.com/offer.
And after today's teaching, Skip and Lenya are in studio to share with us. So I hope you stay tuned. Now let's join Skip Heitzig in Acts chapter 27 for the conclusion of this teaching.
Storms change what you think is important. You think it's so important one day to have something, but the next day it's like, you know what? I just want to survive. And you see, storms turn salesmen into survivors. They turn entrepreneurs into endurers. Because the very thing you think is so important today, you might think is worthless tomorrow. Years ago, there was a guy in Europe. He was from Turkey. He was a wrestler, and he won all the wrestling matches. He was called Yusuf Hossein. And Yusuf was 350 pounds. He was a big boy. In fact, they nicknamed him Yusuf the Terrible Turk. He beat everybody in Europe, and he decided to challenge a guy in America named Strangler Lewis. He was our best. He weighed 200 and some odd pounds. So Yusuf the Turk came over to America, wrestled Strangler Lewis, Strangler lost, Yusuf the Turk won, and the prize money was $5,000, which Yusuf demanded be paid to him in gold. They paid him in gold coins. He stuffed the gold coins in a money belt around his waist to make a statement and boarded the ship, the USS Burgoyne, on his way back to Europe. I think you know where I'm going with this. The ship started to sink. People dove off. Lifeboats came to rescue them, but the weight around Yusuf's body was such that it plunged him down into the sea. He discovered in that moment the truth of Proverbs 11:4. Riches will not profit in the day of wrath. It was over for Yusuf the Terrible Turk. I can't tell you how many times I've been in a hospital with families in emergency room setting where this family had just had a fight a day or a few hours before. And suddenly they're at a point in their lives where there may not be a tomorrow for one of them. And it's interesting the change of values that occurs in that storm. You see, a couple hours ago, a day ago, each of those family members were sure that in that argument, their point was important enough to not let down. And they argued and they thought it was so valuable to stay angry. But not today. Today, there's a different value. Today, there's the value of life and eternity. And suddenly, the storm brings such clarity, it's like somebody gave you a new set of eyes. So storms will change your comfort. It will change your plans, and they will change your values. That's a given. That's a certainty. This typically happens to anyone. But now there's a second point I want to make that's here that rises to the surface of this chapter. And it's not a certainty, but it is a possibility. And it should be true for every follower of Christ. And that is that storms can bolster confidence. It's amazing as you read through this. To read about Paul the Apostle, we're going to start with him in verse 21. He like a leader, rises to the surface. And you know, storms will either make you or break you. And how you face them depends on who you are going into them. But they tend to either make you, as been often said, better or bitter, better or worse. You either cave and crumple underneath the weight of them, or you have confidence in the midst of them. Now look at verse 21, how this guy takes charge. Here's Paul. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss." God will love him. "And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me.'" Here's a guy who's confident. He's confident in God's plan. He's confident in God's promises. Now, don't misinterpret verse 21 as arrogance. I don't really hear Paul saying, "Told you so, told you." I don't see that. I don't think it's arrogance. I think this is the voice of experience. You got to keep something in mind. Paul had been on the Mediterranean a bunch of times. He was experienced. In fact, I read the report of one guy named Ernst Hanken, who cataloged all of the journeys of Paul's life and figured that there were 11 trips so far Paul had taken out on the Mediterranean before this one, and that he cataloged 3,500 miles by sea. So Paul knew what it was like to be in this body of water. But it's not just experience. Here's a guy filled with hope, filled with the Holy Spirit, and he has confidence in God's plan and God's promises. Now, I want to close by giving you three anchors. Okay, I'm going to be your meteorologist now. I'm going to give you three anchors. These are anchors that tethered Paul in this storm, and these are three anchors that will keep you secure in anything you face. Number one is the anchor of ownership. Look at the 23rd verse. Paul says, "There stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong." Knowing that God owned Paul brought him confidence and kept him tethered in this storm. Question: do you belong to God? Does he own you? Before you answer that, you have to answer this. Have you ever come to a place in your life where you've given him control? You've surrendered your life. You've said, "Here's the pink slip of my life. It's yours. You own me. You're in charge of my life." That makes a big difference. Because it means whenever you're going through a storm, you really don't need to go, "I can't believe you." Wait a minute. You don't own you anymore, remember? You gave yourself away to the Lord. You're his property. Now, the Bible speaks of this ownership of God owning us in a few different ways. Way number one, as a father owns and protects his children. 1 John chapter 3, we're called the children of God. It's a beautiful thought, isn't it? That just as a mom and a dad and a home keep care and control of the kids in those early years and protect them, that we're children of God. By the way, you're not a child of God just because you're born on the earth. You're a child of God only if you've been born again. And by that new birth, you've given control of your life to him. Another way the Bible speaks of this ownership is that of a shepherd owning his sheep. Jesus said in John 10, I am the good shepherd, and I am known by my own. The shepherd owns the sheep. A third way is that of a slave to his master. 1 Corinthians 4, Paul said, let a man consider us as servants or bond slaves of Christ. There was an old gentleman who seemed always, I should say, even keeled in life, at peace in just about any situation. Well, a young guy came up to him and said, let me ask you something. What do you do when you face a temptation or a trial, a storm? The old man said, I look up to heaven and I say, God, your property's in danger. That's a healthy perspective, isn't it? Paul believed that. God owns me. He is the God to whom I belong. I'm his property. That's an anchor in a storm. Let me offer you a second anchor. If the first one is the anchor of ownership, the second one is the anchor of service. Notice that verse once again. The God to whom I belong and whom I serve. You see, this apostle knew that he was doing business for God. You might say he knew he was God's rep. I'm a representative of the kingdom of God. Now, I'm going to make a statement. I want you to listen very carefully to it. As a child of God, owned by God, as a person who's in serving the Lord, that's what your life's primary goal is, you are invincible until God is done with you. Now, listen to that statement. You are invincible. Nothing can harm you until God's done with you. And when God's done with you, who wants to hang around anyway? When you think of what's in store for the child of God in heaven. Do you remember, and if you don't, I'll tell you, in Revelation chapter 11, there's a story of two witnesses who are going to come on the scene, I believe, in the future. We don't know exactly who they are. But these two witnesses that emerge during the tribulation period, this is what it says, Revelation 11. And when they had finished their testimony, the beast from the bottomless pit arises, makes war against them, prevails against them, and kills them. Now, when does that happen? When they have finished their testimony. You might say it's horrible that they were killed. Hey, it's going to happen to all of us. We're all going to go sometime. But they couldn't go, they couldn't die, they couldn't be prevailed on until they had finished their testimony. So in this storm, God tells Paul through the angel, don't worry, Paul, you're going to testify me in Rome. Paul has great assurance. Now, I want you to compare Paul's storm with another man going through another storm in the same sea, the Mediterranean. His name was Jonah. You remember that story, right? And you remember Jonah, this prophet of God, going through a storm in the Mediterranean. Did he face that storm with confidence? Absolutely not. You know why? Because he didn't want to serve the Lord, right? He wanted to go another direction. God said, go to Tarshish. And in Nineveh, he said, I'm going to the other direction. So here's one guy who says, I don't want to serve the Lord. He has no confidence in a storm. Another guy says, I'm owned by God and I'm in the service of God. And those are two anchors for me in the storm. I know he owns me and my life is given over to his service, to do his bidding, to serve for his pleasure. And there's a third, and that's the 25th verse. It is the anchor of trust. Therefore, Paul says, take heart, men. Come on, everybody loves somebody like this in a storm, right? I mean, there's enough people in a storm who said, I knew it, we're all dead. I'm gonna jump off now. But in the midst of a very tempestuous sea, you got a guy saying, take heart, be courageous. For I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. It was Paul's deep conviction that God was the keeper of his promises that kept him anchored in this storm. Question, what do you do in a storm? What's your first initial reaction? As soon as something bad happens, what do? Call a therapist? Recite a mantra? Grab some beads to say some prayers? Or do you find the sure promises of God in his word and say, I believe God, just as he told me? You know, when the Civil War was going through our country, the president then was Abraham Lincoln. And do you know that our president during that time was so depressed that the nation was at war that he often resorted to reading the Bible? They say, the biographers of the man, that Psalm 34 was his favorite psalm, or at least one of them. And I'm told, at least I've read, that if you were to look at Lincoln's personal Bible and turn to Psalm 34, you'd see a smudge, where obviously his long, tapered finger often rested at a particular passage, Psalm 34, verse 4. Which says, I'll read it to you, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Great to know that you got a leader that looks at those kind of promises when going through a storm in our nation. Well, here's Paul's long road to Rome. Never a dull moment with this guy, right? His whole life, all the way through his life has been filled with trials, right? I mean, he was misunderstood in Jerusalem. He was stoned at Lystra. And I mean rocks. You got to clear that up these days. He was scoffed at in Athens, scorned in Ephesus, falsely accused in Caesarea. Now he faces a shipwreck in the Mediterranean. Now, on top of all that, Paul said, I often had to face the misunderstanding and the scorn and the accusation from false brethren within the churches and false doctrine in the churches I founded. Stuart Briscoe used to say, the qualification of a pastor is he needs the mind of a scholar, the heart of a child, and the hide of a rhinoceros. I think Paul had a beautiful balance of all three. He was a very smart man, tender-hearted, but tough. And he made it through these storms. And I know that you've got your own storm stories. And I know that every time you go through an episode of a storm, you're a little different afterwards. I've got my stories. You've got yours. You get changed by that storm. Hopefully for the better. Which leads us to that final possibility. The possibility that your confidence in God and your outlook in life could be at that high level if these three anchors are let out. Anchor number one, God owns me. Anchor number two, I'm serving him, that's my aim. And anchor number three, I trust in his promises. Corrie ten Boom once wrote, if God sends you on stormy paths, he provides strong shoes. Okay, be honest. You've often prayed, Lord, I hate this stony path. Give me a smooth one. Why don't you just pray for stronger shoes? I would add to that, if God sends us into stormy seas, look for the right anchors. Set them in place and be confident.
The three anchors that kept Paul strong in his storm are the same things that keep us resilient in the face of difficulty. God owns me, I'm serving him, and I trust in his promises. And that's some great help for all of us as we move through the storms that life throws us. I'm so glad you had the time to tune in for this Easter weekend edition of Connect with Skip Heitzig. And remember, today's teaching is part of the series Paul's Long Road to Rome. And we have this entire series available for your personal study library. Receive all 22 teachings for only $45. We also have today's teaching available on an individual audio CD for only $6. So learn more and order today at connectwithskip.com or when you call 1-800-922-1888. And we're thankful to have Skip and Lenya in studio with us today, so let's check in with them.
This was a fabulous message on storm stories, and I think we all have some of those storm stories ourselves. And Paul held on to some really great anchors during the midst of those in his life. And he encourages us to remember that God owns us, we serve him, and we can trust his promises. Someone listening today is probably in the middle of a storm of their own, as we all get them. Perhaps they could use some hope, which is that anchor to our soul. Would you mind encouraging our listeners with some of God's promises that you have found to be strong anchors in hard times?
I love the story mentioned in all four Gospels of Jesus on the Sea of Galilee, and his disciples are caught in a storm. Jesus comes to them walking on the water, and they, "Lord, don't you care?" And what impresses me about the story is that Jesus came to them on the very thing they feared the most. They thought the waves were going to destroy them. Jesus came to them on the waves. So often, I found that the Lord comes to me in the experience that I dread. You know, Job said, "That which I have feared has come upon me." He discovered the Lord in that, though, and the profundity of answers and foundation that the Lord brought him to through that was powerful. So I find that the Lord shows up, and what we think is the worst thing that is happening to us can actually become the best. And that's just how the Lord does that. And the second scripture is 2 Timothy chapter 1, where Paul said, "I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day or against that day." And what impresses me is that he didn't say, "I know what I believe." That's kind of apologetics, what we have talked about before. This is relational. "I know in whom I have believed. I don't know why this is happening. This is so foreign. This doesn't make sense. This seems counterintuitive to a good, loving, caring God. But I know him. I know his character. I know in whom I have believed. And I trust that whatever and for whatever purpose, it's going to work out because I know him."
I love that. And you often share this idea. I was walking with our grandson, Seth, today, and his eye got scratched, so he's having a hard time seeing, and he had his glasses on, and they're crazy glasses, and they wouldn't stay on. And we were starting to cross a street, and a truck came, and he didn't hold my hand tighter. I held his hand tighter. Mm. And you talk about that a lot. Sometimes we think it's our trust, how hard we can cling to Christ. But he's clinging to us. Mm-hmm. And he really longs to save us and rescue us and pull us out of those storms. And so that's just such a nice reminder that he's holding on to me with a much tighter grip than I can hold on to him.
So for our listeners, the Lord would say to you, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
Well, thanks so much, Skip and Lenya. And remember, if you'd like to listen to Pastor Skip's teachings on the go, pick up the app at connectwithskip.com. It's Rome, Sweet Rome. The final teaching in our series, Paul's Long Road to Rome, launches next weekend here in Connect with Skip Weekend Edition, a presentation of Connection Communications.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on his wood. Make a connection. A connection. A connection.
Connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.